This article is brought to you by the best-selling book say right every time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to name your emotion out loud during conflict to instantly reduce its intensity. The one spoken phrase that turns emotional flooding into productive dialogue. In short, naming your emotion out loud during conflict is not an act of weakness. It is a precise intervention that interrupts the brain's reactive cycle and creates the conditions for resolution. When you say the feeling aloud, you reduce its grip on you, signal safety to the other person, and move the conversation from reactivity to reason. Naming an emotion activates rational thinking and lowers emotional flooding within seconds. The words you choose and the tone you use determine whether it lands a strength or drama. A clear, practiced process makes this reliable, not just something you hope to remember under pressure. Definition: name your emotion is the practice of stating your internal feeling state aloud, in plain language, during a moment of conflict or tension. It is a self-regulation technique rooted in effect labeling the act of putting words to feelings to reduce their neurological and physiological intensity in real time. There was a meeting I sat in about 30 years ago where a colleague I respected said something that cut right to the bone. It was in front of others. My face went hot. My jaw set. I said nothing. But everything I said from that point on was wrong, clipped, cold, subtly combative. The meeting ended without resolution, and the damage lasted weeks. I had been flooded by emotion, and I had no name for it in the moment. All I knew was that I was angry, and I buried it. The burial cost more than the conflict would have. Here is the truth of it. When you name your emotion out loud during conflict, something shifts in the room, and in your body. The intensity drops. Not because naming feelings is a therapy exercise, but because of what it does inside your brain. In Say It Right Every Time, I build this into a full framework. But the core technique is something you can start using today, and this article will show you exactly how. Why saying the feeling out loud is harder than it sounds. Most people know, on some level, that expressing what they feel might help, and most people fail to do it anyway. The reason is not weakness of character. The reason is timing. Conflict produces physiological arousal. Your heart rate climbs, your thinking narrows. The part of your brain responsible for measured, articulate self-expression is exactly the part that goes offline first. By the time you most need to name your emotion, your body has already made speaking carefully very difficult. This is what I describe in Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time as the amygdala hijack the moment your emotional brain overrides your rational one. Understanding how the amygdala hijack silently blocks communication in high-pressure moments is the first step toward managing it. There is also a cultural layer. Many people, particularly men of my generation, were taught that feelings in a conflict are ammunition for the other side. Naming what you feel seems like an invitation to be dismissed. That belief is understandable. It is also wrong. Suppression does not make emotions disappear. It makes them leak out in every other way: tone, body language, sarcasm, withdrawal. Naming the emotion is not giving your opponent a weapon. It is taking one away from the reactive part of yourself. What needs to be in place before you speak? Before you can name an emotion clearly, two things must be true. First, you need enough of a pause. Even 3 seconds between stimulus and response creates room for intention. I call this the 3-second pause and Say It Right Every Time. And it is not a metaphor, it is a literal count. When something lands that triggers you, press pause. Count. Let the worst of this surge pass before you open your mouth. Second, you need a basic emotional vocabulary before the conflict begins. If your only options in the moment are angry and fine, you'll reach for one of those. But the feeling might be embarrassed, or threatened, or dismissed, or overwhelmed. The more precise your language, the more accurate your naming, and the more that other person can actually hear it. Spend 5 minutes this week listing the emotions you commonly experience in conflict. That preparation is worth more than any amount of in-the-moment willpower. If your team struggles with this, understanding the role of emotional intelligence in building genuine connection will give you the broader context for why emotional vocabulary matters at every level. The 6-step process. How to name your emotion out loud. This is the process I teach, drawn directly from the Connect method I outline in Chapter 8 of Say It Right Every Time. The method has 7 steps for the full emotional conversation. The 6 steps below focus specifically on the naming moment itself. The act of saying the feeling aloud and using it to move the conversation forward. Number 1. Calm yourself down first. Before any words come out, slow your breath. Inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 4. Do not speak while your chest is still tight. Calmness is not the same as detachment. It means your rational brain is back in the room. This is the only step that is purely internal. Every step after this is spoken. Number 2. Observe the emotion with curiosity, not judgment. Ask yourself what is actually happening inside me right now. Not why is this person making me feel this way, but what is the feeling, specifically. You might notice defensiveness. You might notice sadness disguised as irritation. Observation is not analysis. It takes 2 seconds. It just requires you to look inward for a moment before you look outward. Number 3. Name the emotion aloud, simply and specifically. This is the core of the whole practice. Speak the feeling as a plain statement of fact, not a question, not a complaint. A clear, first-person declaration. Say, I want to be honest with you. I'm feeling defensive right now, and I think that is getting in the way. Or, I notice I'm feeling anxious about where this is heading. Use I not you. Say the specific emotion, not a vague state. Frustrated is more useful than not great. Embarrassed is more useful than upset. The more precise the word, the more you discern the feeling and the more the other person can respond to something real. Number 4. Normalize the emotion without over-explaining it. After naming, add one brief sentence that treats the emotion as understandable rather than shameful. This signals to the other person that you are not spiraling. You are aware. It also reduces the likelihood they will use your vulnerability against you. Say, that is probably a natural reaction given how much is riding on this. Or, I think most people would feel the same way in this situation. Do not apologize for the emotion. Do not over-explain it. One sentence. Move on. Number 5. Empathize outward before continuing. Once you have named your own state, turn towards the other person. Acknowledge that they may be feeling something too. This is what I describe in Say It Right Every Time as the empathy bridge you acknowledge before you advance. It lowers defenses and invites collaboration. Say, and I imagine this has not been easy for you either. Or, I expect we are both feeling the pressure of this, and I want us to get through it together. This single move changes the posture of the conversation from adversarial to shared. Psychological safety is what makes this move possible. Without it, naming your emotion can feel like exposure rather than connection. Number 6. Clarify what you need and redirect to the issue. Now, and only now, return to the substance of the conflict. Name what you need from the conversation. Keep it specific and forward-looking. Say, what I need right now is for us to slow down and figure out what is actually in dispute, so we can find a way through this. Or, I want to get to a solution here. Can we start by agreeing on what we are actually trying to resolve? The naming was not the destination. It was the bridge. You crossed it. Now you are on solid ground. Adapting the process for remote and hybrid conversations. Everything above assumes you are in the same room as the person. Remote conflict is harder, and emotional control requires an extra layer of deliberate effort when you are on a screen. On a video call, people often suppress visible emotion because they are watching their own face. That self-monitoring increases internal tension while the other person reads nothing. Name your emotion earlier than you think you need to, because the signals that would normally cue the other person that something is wrong are invisible to them. Keep your camera on. An emotion named with no visual context lands as cold text. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed by this, said while looking at the camera, lands with warmth and honesty. Said in a voice note or chat message, it can easily be read as passive-aggressive. Slow down your speech rate by about 20%. Emotional flooding in remote settings often produces faster talking, not slower. Speed signals panic. Deliberate pacing signals composure. When you name the emotion calmly and then pause, you give the other person room to breathe too. If a remote conflict is escalating beyond what naming can hold in the moment, use the postpone option from Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time. I think we are both too activated to have a productive conversation right now. Can we agree to pick this up at 10 tomorrow? That is not retreat. It is strategy. De-escalating team conflict without destroying what you have built often requires knowing when to pause entirely and when to push through. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emunblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when they try this. Naming your emotion sounds simple. Doing it poorly is easy. Here are the three mistakes I see most often, along with what to do instead. The mistake: naming the emotion as an accusation. Why it happens. The emotion is real and raw, and the sentence starts with you. You're making me feel attacked is not naming your emotion. It is naming your interpretation of someone else's behavior. What to do instead. Stay strictly in the first person. I feel attacked right now is yours to say. You are attacking me is a verdict. The mistake: naming too late when the flood is already at full height. Why it happens. People wait until they cannot hold it any longer, and then the naming comes out with all the intensity still behind it. What to do instead. Name it early, at the first sign of internal tension. I want to flag something. I'm starting to feel reactive, and I want to stay constructive. That early naming prevents the flood. Late naming only describes it. The mistake: using vague emotion words that mean nothing specific. Why it happens. We have limited emotional vocabulary under pressure, and we reach for the first word available. What to do instead. Build your vocabulary in advance. The difference between saying upset and saying humiliated changes the entire conversation. Unmet needs often drive specific emotions that surface in conflict, and naming those emotions precisely is what unlocks the path to resolution. Also worth noting, the tone you use when naming matters as much as the words. If you say, "I'm feeling frustrated," with clenched teeth and a cold stare, the naming does not land as self-awareness. It lands as threat. Soften your voice, not to weakness, to signal that the words are information, not escalation. For a broader look at how this connects to team-wide patterns, understanding what amygdala hijack looks like when it is happening across a whole team will sharpen your awareness of what you are interrupting when you name your own emotion. Your quick reference, the emotion naming check. Use this before and during any conversation where emotion is likely to run high. Print it. Keep it on your desk. You will use it more than you expect before the conversation. Number 1. Write down the specific emotion you're most likely to feel, not a category, a precise word. Number 2. Write one sentence naming it, using I only. I am feeling because. Number 3. Write one normalizing sentence that is understandable given. Number 4. Write one empathy sentence toward the other person. I imagine you may be feeling. Number 5. Confirm your desired outcome for the conversation in one specific sentence during the conversation. Number 1. Use the 3-second pause before responding when triggered. Number 2. Name the emotion early, not at peak intensity. Number 3. Say it as information, not accusation. I statements only. Number 4. Follow the naming with normalizing, then empathy. Number 5. Redirect the issue with a specific, forward-looking request after the conversation. Number 1. Note which emotion you actually felt versus what you predicted. Number 2. Note whether the naming reduced tension or added to it, and adjust your language for next time. Number 3. Add any new emotion words that emerge to your vocabulary list. This pre-work takes 10 minutes. It is the difference between reaching for a tool you know and reaching in the dark. The full clarity checklist and pre-conversation preparation system is covered in depth in Say It Right Every Time. If you want the complete framework for every type of difficult conversation, the book also addresses how psychological safety and honest communication sustain trust over time, which is the long game this technique serves. The practice that changes everything. Here is what I know after 6 decades of difficult conversations, many of them handled badly. Emotional control is not about suppressing what you feel. It is about relating to what you feel in real time. Naming the emotion is the most direct path to that relationship. When you name your emotion out loud during conflict, you're not performing vulnerability. You are practicing a skill. The first time it feels awkward. The 5th time it feels deliberate. By the 20th time, it is simply what you do when the temperature rises. That is when it becomes a genuine tool for resolution rather than a technique you have to remember. Start with low-stakes conversations. Name something small. Notice what happens in the room. Carry that forward into the harder moments, and you will find that the words you thought would expose you are actually what protect everyone in the room, including yourself. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to name your emotion during conflict? To name your emotion during conflict means to say aloud, in plain words, the feeling you're experiencing in that moment. For example, I'm feeling frustrated right now. This simple act interrupts the reactive cycle and helps both parties move toward understanding rather than escalation. Why does naming your emotion reduce conflict intensity? When you name your emotion, your brain shifts activity from the amygdala, which drives reactive fight-or-flight responses, to the prefrontal cortex, which governs rational thinking. This neurological shift, sometimes called affect labeling, lowers physiological arousal and makes productive conversation possible within seconds. How do you name your emotion without sounding weak or dramatic? Use a calm, factual tone, not a theatrical one. Say it as information, not a performance. A phrase like "I want to be honest, I'm feeling anxious about this" lands as self-aware and direct. Naming an emotion is an act of strength, not vulnerability on display. What is the Connect method for emotional conversations? The Connect method is a 7-step framework for navigating emotionally charged conversations. Calm yourself down. Observe the emotion. Name the emotion. Normalize the emotion. Empathize with your partner. Clarify your needs. Trust the connection. I introduce this in full and say it right every time. Can you name your emotion during a conflict at work? Yes. And it is often more powerful in professional settings than personal ones. Saying "I notice I'm feeling defensive, and I want to understand your point" better signals emotional intelligence and disarms the other person. It shifts the conversation from positional argument to collaborative problem solving. What if naming the emotion makes the other person angrier? If your naming lands badly, it usually means the delivery was too intense or too timed. Choose a neutral tone and pair the naming with curiosity about the other person's state. "I'm feeling overwhelmed, and I suspect you might be" two signals shared humanity rather than self-focus. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.